If you have your Bibles, please, if you'll turn to Psalm 3 in the few minutes that we have together remaining in our service tonight, I want to draw your attention to this Psalm of David. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. We're going to read the 8 verses of Psalm 3 and then take a look at some thoughts tonight from God's Word. Psalm 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Or literally speaking, it would say, you are a pillow for my head. I want you to think about that phrase. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Carrying that same thought from verse 3, he held me up. The pillow of my head, he held me up. The sustaining hands of God again mentioned. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessed word. And we ask, dear Father, that you would just bless this time together as we look to your word. May we find strength and comfort in your word as only you can give. And we pray, Father, that you would encourage us tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Very simple outline of this particular chapter. And by the way, Psalm 3 and Psalm 4 go together. Very important, a psalm of the morning. And then Psalm 4 is a psalm of the evening. And very important that you read those two together. But we're just going to look at Psalm 3 and a few verses here. Verses 1 and 2 kind of indicate the pressure that David was under. Verses 3 and 4, the protection that God gave to David. Verses 5 and 6, the peace that God gave to David so that he could sleep in the midst of all of his trouble. And then verses 7 and 8, the prayer of David is given to us. It's a very simple outline that you can do for this particular psalm. But I want to kind of give the background, if I can, in the next few moments, and then look at a couple of thoughts in this regard. I cannot imagine what David was going through at this particular time, and the subtitle that's given to us here, when he fled from Absalom his son, puts us in the context of 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 17. You have the record there of Absalom pursuing his father. David had been crying over Absalom. Remember, Abner had been killed. He had raped Absalom's sister Tamar. And so Absalom said about how he was going to kill Amnon, and he carried it out, killed him. Absalom fled back to his mother's family. Went back to his homeland, his family. And David wanted him to come back. David wanted Absalom to come back home. As a matter of fact, he was gratified in his own heart to bring Absalom back in his unrighteousness. Now, think about the parable of the prodigal son. Who came home? Who did the leaving and who did the coming? Well, it was the son. David turned this all about. He wanted Absalom to come home. He had dealt with the grief of losing his son Amnon, and now he wanted Absalom to come home. But had Absalom changed? No. Nothing had changed. In the parable of the prodigal son, the father was right all along. He waited at the gate, wanted his son to come back, but he didn't go after his son. He wanted a work to be done in his son's heart first, and then the return. Now, there's a very important lesson here that we're going to get into that I want to bring out, and it needs to grip our hearts. Don't make the same mistake that David made in this regard. David allowed his emotions to take charge of this situation. He wanted Absalom to come home. He missed him. He loved him. He wanted him home. And he was willing to overlook murder in the process. Now, is there anything right about that situation? Is there anything good going to come out of this situation by bringing his murderer son back home and pretending like nothing happened? Remember why David is having all of this trouble now. It's because of his sin.
And now it's coming home to roost on him, and he's bucking underneath that. He doesn't like this. Remember, Nathan had told him, it's going to be your own children that are going to break your heart. It's going to be your own children. And here, David just can't deal with that. He says, Absalom, 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 I would that I could go to you and take your place. Remember all that language that he gave? Well, Absalom came back, and it was the beginning of sorrows, because within a short time, David's not even going to have enough time to put his shoes on. He is going to have to flee out of Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives to save his own life. Now, God's going to take care of him, and that's what this psalm is all about how God takes care of His servant. But David is seeing now the consequences of all of his sin that from the past are now coming home to roost. Another important lesson. You may gain forgiveness from God, but you're still going to bear the consequences of your sin. God doesn't take away consequences. Nowhere in the Scriptures do you find God stopping consequences. Was it not Paul that stood by as Stephen was stoned? And what happened to Paul? He was stoned. Many believe that he died and God raised him back up again. I don't know for sure. The Bible's not very clear, but he was stoned and left for dead. The principle of retribution is in the Bible and it never goes away until Jesus comes. Amen? So we're going to have to understand and know that. Just because you receive forgiveness from God does not mean that all the consequences for your wrongdoing goes away. You don't understand forgiveness. In this life and in this world, you commit sin, you're going to pay for it in consequences, and it's going to come sooner or later. I saw a picture today on my Google News. I always check it out to find out what's happened overnight. And there was a picture of a 96-year-old German in the back seat of a car clutching his bag of clothes. He was a Nazi war criminal that had been living in this country, living in Minnesota. And he was extradited. He's going to be sent back to Germany to stand trial. He was in the back seat of the car and he had his head down. He had lived here in the United States all these years. He had deceived the people when he came into this country, deceived and said, I had nothing to do with the Nazi thing. I was an innocent. And they let him come on through. He's been living in Minnesota all these years. And they have got a list of war crimes and the number of people that he was involved directly in killing during World War II. And what is he going to do? He's going to pay for his crimes. Now, you say, well, look at all these years that he lived there. But he's going to pay for his crimes. In this life, you're going to, sooner or later, you're going to pay for your sins. You're going to bear the marks of the consequences. And David here is bucking under this, but at the same time, he comes to understand that this is what God said would happen, and so I need God's grace to endure it. Now, a series of crises overwhelmed David at this time that's recorded here in Psalm 3. Namely, the treachery of his own beloved son, the disloyalty of a trusted counselor by the name of Ahithophel. You remember him? You know, he was one of David's trusted counselors, and he turned against him, went over to Absalom, gave away all the secrets. You know, he had some people like this guy that's over in China right now trying to run. He's a pretty smart guy. He's a very smart guy. He got out of Hawaii quick, went over to Hong Kong, and now everybody in the world wants to get him because he's got valuable secrets and so forth, and he's able to, through social media, he's able to talk to people and carry on or whatever. But you know what? If he's giving away American secrets, they need to get him stopped because he'll help our enemies. Now, I don't know all the circumstances. I don't pretend to know. But, you know, that's what Ahithophel did to David. He gave up the state secrets to Absalom. Gave him the keys to the kingdom. Told him where everything was locked up, all the papers, all that kind of stuff. That was Ahithophel. Turned against David. Then there were the people that turned against David because they loved Absalom. You know, what was there to love about Absalom? You know what? It's almost like a time in our days. We love the idea of a president, not the person. And that's a sad predicament. Here was Absalom. He was good looking. I mean, he was stunningly handsome. All right? Now, I know what it means to be ugly. All right? I heard it. I'm not going to take time to tell the joke that I heard the other day about Beauty and Ugly, but anyway. But, you know, he was handsome and everybody liked him. Personable, friendly, million-dollar smile, million-dollar hairdo. All right? I mean, he was a looker and everybody liked him. But that was the substance of the man. That's how far it went. And everybody said, man, he's the kind of guy we need up there. Remember, David was short. He was not a tall man. He was redheaded and ruddy. And he was a handsome guy, but Absalom beat him hands down when it came to that. And that was his political clout. He was good looking. Now, wouldn't that be nice? But that's not how you run a government. And it was Absalom's downfall. His good looks went to his head. And it was his head that got caught up in the oak tree and he got killed as a result. Consequences coming home to roost. Now, I don't want to get sidelined here. Having committed his cause to God, in chapter 3 here we see something that is brought out. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for him. Here's David running barefoot outside the city of Jerusalem, headed up the Mount of Olives up to the top. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 15 or 16, I believe it is, that as he climbed the ascent of the Mount of Olives, his head was down and his head was covered. Ashes were on him and the ash cloth was on him. And he's going up to the top of the mountain, a defeated man. And there were his detractors all around, cursing at him, swearing at him. We read about Shimei and all those that came to curse and swear at him. There's no help for you anymore. You're not going to be our king anymore. He was pretty discouraged at this time. But I want you to notice, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and then notice, and the lifter up of mine head. In other words, the pillow for my head. That's why in verse 5 he says, I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord sustain me. I don't know if I can give adequate understanding to this passage, but I hope that you can get a hold of the fact that God is telling us something that's very important here. You are going to disappoint God, but God will always care for you. Now that is one of the most overwhelming truths of the Bible. I am going to disappoint God, but He never disappoints me. That's what it means to live under grace, folks. That thought. As he was climbing up to the top of that mountain, they had a worship service, by the way, and after that worship service, we read in 2 Samuel that God sent a minister unto him, Ziba. The servant that he had met back in chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, Ziba was the one that he had said, listen, I want you to take Saul's property, I want your boys to farm this property, and I want you to take care of Mephibosheth. I'm giving you the care and watch care over him. He's going to live in my house, but you take care of all of Saul's holdings for him. Ziba comes walking along the other side of the mountain, meets David up at the top, and you know what he's got? He's got donkeys for David to ride on. Remember, he's walking barefoot. Not only that, 200 loaves of bread, cakes of raisins, plenty to eat. And David says, why are you here? He said, I've come to assist you. I've come to help you. David hadn't asked for any help. Who sent Ziba? Can I tell you who sent him? God did. God did. God was putting His hands underneath David so that David would rest in Him. Now folks, you and I have to come to the place where we stop kicking and start resting. We've got to come to the place where we say, Lord, I've disappointed You. David, I'm sure, was kicking himself every step of the way up that mountain. Boy, I have messed it up now. I'm the one that brought my boy back. I'm the one that said, oh, Absalom could come. And now I'm fleeing for my life. And who is after me? My son Absalom that I loved. Absalom didn't share a love for his father. that the Father shared for His Son. And yet, as He weighs this all out, He said, "But Lord, You're my shield, and all I have left to do is to rest in You, to pillow my head in Your hands." Now look what it all took to bring David to that place. It took a son going bad. He had several sons that went bad, but it took this one, the love of his life, going bad, to bring him to the place where he could rest and pillow his head at night and sleep, knowing that his life could be snuffed out. All it took was one of Absalom's trusted men to come up there, kill him. In the night, it had all been over with. But he was able to sleep because he had the peace of God in his heart. He laid down and he rested, and God gave him sleep. And then you'll notice that in several times in this psalm, we're called upon to Selah, Hebrew word. That's the English transliteration of the Hebrew word. And it simply means this: stop, look, and listen. That's what that word meant. My dad, whenever we were growing up, when we would read the Psalms, he'd always share what Bob Gay used to say when he was assistant pastor here many, many years ago. And it said, he would say, "Selah." My dad would always say this, "Selah, think of this." And he'd stop when we were doing our Bible reading at home. And Dad, I have to say, every time I read the Psalms, I can hear your voice. "Selah, think of that." I remember that as a child. It was embedded in my mind. Stop, look, and listen. You know, I, for years, been driving the bus. I don't drive a bus anymore because of my diabetes and changes in laws and so forth like that. But when I was taking my driver's test, we were in Marianna, and they took us across railroad tracks. And as a bus driver, they're testing you to see what you're going to do. You stop the bus, all right? You turn on the flashers, you do all the protocol, you open your window on the side, and you open the window on the door, and you stop, look, and listen. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said that his dad drove a buggy. This was back in the early 1900s. And they'd come up to the old railroad tracks in their town. He said his daddy would always, pull back on the horse. And he would look at his dad. His dad would be turning his head and said, "Dad, there's not a train within 50 miles of this place." I mean, it was all flat, no trees. And he looked at his son and he said, "I wasn't paying attention, so I'm going to always stop if you don't mind." He said, "We're going to stop, look, and listen." He said that that stuck in his mind ever since he was a child. And he always put that, every time he came to this word in Psalms, he would put that moment where his dad would pull back on the horse, quiet the horse down, and he'd look down this way, he'd look down that way. "No train coming. Well, let's go." And get him on across the street. Now that's what God wants us to do tonight with this passage of Scripture. I hope I whet your appetite to go home, read these two Psalms together. They are very instructive. We can worry and be anxious and fretful when everything's falling apart, when we're running up Mount of Olives, so to speak, fleeing from our enemies, fleeing from those that would take our lives. Can you stop and look to God in heaven and say, "Lord, all I have left is You. I'm going to rest in You," and pillow your head in His hands? I want to encourage your heart tonight. God's still in charge. God's still on the throne. And you're going to disappoint God. I hate to say this, but we're going to probably do it every day. I'd like to be able to say I didn't disappoint Him today, but I have. But I know this, that God will never disappoint me. And therefore, I can rest and trust in Him. Would you take that thought to bed tonight? Before you hit the sack tonight, would you thank God that you can trust Him and rest in Him tonight? And find that strength that only He can give and rest in Him and just leave your problems. Leave your problems. We got a sign out here on our gate. It says, "Leave your troubles at this gate. It's time for the kids to have fun." I've got some people can't do that. Bless their hearts. I've had to butt heads with them. They got all their problems. They haul them up on a t-ball field and let everybody else get all their problems too. Well, you know what? We've got enough of our own. We don't need somebody else's. But God wants you to do that too. It's a conscious decision on your part and my part to rest in Him. And David could do it at the lowest point in his life. If he can do it, You and I can do it. Let me encourage your heart with God's Word tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You're a caring and loving God. And Lord, we come to Thee tonight repenting of the fact that we have disappointed You today. We didn't fully do like we ought to do. There were thoughts that we had. There were actions that we took. There were things that we did that should have been run through You first. Lord, we always disappoint You, but You're such a good and gracious God that You continue to take care of us. You continue to supply Your grace and Your mercy. Father, may we be truly thankful. And Lord, when we come, and there may be some here tonight that are at the lowest point in their life, I don't know what their need might be, but I know this, that they can trust in You, and they can rest, they can pillow their head in Your hand. So Father, I pray that You'd encourage us tonight to trust You more, to rely upon You, to rest in You more, that we would not tote all of the sorrow and the difficulties in our heart, but that we might cast them at Your feet, knowing that You care for us and that You'll carry our burdens. Father, bless Your Word tonight. Encourage us. Help us to be the right kind of witnesses and testimonies for Thee. And Lord, we want to thank You again for all the many blessings that You've given, Your great watch care over the tournament with no injuries, how You controlled the weather. Lord, none of that was in our hands. That was all in Yours, and we thank You for what You did. And we give You the glory and the praise for everything, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and good night.